Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep drop for Hurts, trying to find something downfield, and it's Devontae Smith. He's loose. He's got it. He is gone. Touchdown, Eagles.
First and goal for New England. Ramondre Stevenson walks it in for a touchdown.
Once, 39-yard field goal for the win. He got it. Denver has won.
You get the gifts. They close it out. And here he is on the run inside. Pushing the pile to the goal line, in for the touchdown. Have a day, have a night, CMC.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, I'll take a couple of those. I had, it was a fantasy day, right? Watch the fantasy team yesterday. I'll take a couple of those. I had Will Lutz. I have Will Lutz as my fantasy kicker. And CMC, baby. Christian McCaffrey. Went to bed last night not exactly knowing what the final score was. And then we knew it was close late. CMC was having a good night. Woke up this morning. I'm like, hey, did a really good job. Hi, everybody. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Here on a Buffalo Football Monday. And I hope I should sound the same to you. Always a little bit different when you're in a different spot. Might look different to you as well. If you're on the stream, hi, Bullpen, everybody. We're on YouTube streaming at WGR 550. And the reason is that I am in a totally different studio. I am at the WSBU studios down at St. Bonaventure University, a student radio station. And they're nice enough to have me down here today to be speaking to a whole bunch of students in the sport management program in the School of Business. And students from sports media. So if you're a St. Bonaventure student, you're like, I was going to blow off class today. Yeah, don't do that. Come on. Or maybe you can and still come listen to me speak, because I'll be talking to some people today and some students about life and sports and business and media and everything that goes along with it. But just kind of about like the journey, right? And getting here and how it's different, a different path for everybody. So I appreciate them having me down here today. Got up this morning. It's about an hour and a half ride from, you know, Buffalo. I live in the city. And nice little ride, though. Got to listen to Jeremy and Joe this morning on my way down. Sometimes I think Jeremy and Joe get mad because I text them. I hear things that they're saying, and I'm not on with them, and I text them. Like, they're talking about Mac Hollins and him leaving the Bills and now playing for the New England Patriots and, you know, what some people might say and how it went down, or how the Bills basically were like, well, we thought we'd get him back. We didn't. And I'm texting them, you know, my perspective from what I know, what happened for Mac Hollins. And I'm like, do they even want to hear from me right now? I'm not really sure. But too bad. They're going to, because I'm listening to them and listening to a lot of you. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. We're going to keep this as a regular Buffalo Football Monday with one exception. Instead of a reaction show to a Bills game, because there's no Bills game, we're going to actually talk a little Sabres as well. Paul Hamilton's going to come your way at 11 a.m. I mean, how about the Buffalo Sabres, folks? They are on a two-game winning streak. And they are, they have a chance tonight in Montreal, who's also playing well, to get back to 500. And actually, no. Oh, great. I love this. Tony B. Sal's texting while driving. Nope. I actually do voice to text. And it's probably looks really, really weird. I do a lot of voice to text. I don't do that. So I actually do. What I do is I can't say it now, but hey, you know who? I say, text Jeremy and Joe, and actually have them on my panel. Bam, and I just click it, and it says, what do you want to say? And I say, Mac Hollins left for the Buffalo Bills for 2 years, $8.4 million, and up to $10.4 million. And then she reads it back and says, it says, Mac Hollins, do you want to send? Yes, I do that. So there you go. That's a good point, though. Yeah, don't text while driving. But I use CarPlay. So there you go. So Paul's going to come our way at 11 a.m., and he's going to talk a little bit about the Sabres, of course, and them having a chance tonight to get back to 500, believe it or not. And I say 500, right? Getting actually 6 points out of 12 games. Right now they have 4 points in 10 games, and they're trying to get back in the mix. But we'll do that at 11 a.m. with Paul Hamilton. In the meantime, we got our regular Football Monday features. And, of course, it is a Buffalo Football Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. So if you're in the chat, I appreciate it. Hi, Bullpen. As usual, I won't be able to get to a lot of what you're saying because I'm doing the show here and taking phone calls, and we want to take calls still today as a Buffalo Football Monday. I've been thinking about what I watched yesterday. I've been thinking about some of the highlights from the teams that you just heard from. We just heard from what? We heard the Eagles get a big W after they had dropped a couple in a row. Think about the Eagles, right? I mean, they're kind of a bit of a same path as the Bills a little bit here. They were 4-0. Then they just, and they didn't look totally right in some of those wins. And then they drop one to Denver. They drop one of the Giants, and you're like, come on, what are you doing? And then they have a nice win. Didn't look great, but still won against the Vikings. They're 5-2. I think it's kind of a parallel little path here for the Bills. They start 4-0. They lose a game at home to the New England Patriots. Like, yeah, you shouldn't have lost. You think you shouldn't have. Some things that you didn't do right, you'd got to clean up. Then you go out to Atlanta, you lose, and now you need to bounce back. So that was one that we heard from on the highlights there. Another was the Denver Broncos. I mean, how about that? What are you thinking, folks? Were you rooting for Denver or the New York Giants yesterday? Because you could make a case for either. If you want to just go with the whole, oh no, it's NFC against AFC, and you want to make sure you're in a better position at the end of the day and at the end of the season than every team in the AFC as you can, then you're rooting for Denver to lose yesterday to be 4-3, and the Bills would be ahead of them, even though they have the division lead, because at the end of the year, that one game could mean seeding. Or you could have been rooting for Denver to say, no, I need them ahead of the Chiefs still. And they really are. The Chiefs still are in third place in their division. But I mean, does anybody really think the Chiefs aren't going to take over at least the Chargers, if not more, with the Broncos after what we've seen with the Chiefs? And I want to get into them in a minute. And then we heard San Fran last night. Yeah, San Fran looked better against Atlanta than the Bills did. Atlanta also had a road game on Monday night, a little bit different, but the Bills allowed, if you want to use that word, I guess, Atlanta and Bijan Robinson to have big runs, big night. San Fran didn't do that. San Fran was very good against Bijan last night. And you could say that's another indictment on the Bills' defense and what they haven't been this year. And you wouldn't be wrong, looking at the stats and numbers. And then, of course, you had New England. Here come the New England Patriots. They are now 5-2. They lead the AFC East by 1.5 games, essentially, right? They're up a half game. I guess you'd say by one full game, maybe, whatever you want to call it, because now they're up. They're 5-2. The Bills are 4-2, so it's a half game there, but they have the head-to-head, so it's one full game. And since they are head-to-head, the Bills would have to beat them. I say it's like 1.5. The Bills have to beat them out. But you can make that up. But here come the New England Patriots, and Drake May looks really, really good. He set a New England Patriots franchise record. Yes, that's right, the team that used to have Tom Brady, with a 90% completion rate on more than 20 passes. I think he had to have more than 20 to qualify for this whatever stat. But either way, he was, what, I think 23 of 25? Got to go back and look yesterday what his final number was. I think it was trending that way at the very end. Let me look at Drake May. Yesterday, he was 21 of 23. There you go. For 222 and two touchdowns. And he looks good. And by the way, they brought in Dobbs comes in for May, who was in concussion protocol for a brief moment. He was in the tent, and he has a 12-yard completion. And the Patriots, it wasn't great until about halftime, and then the second half they kind of took over, and they did what they should do against the Tennessee Titans, you would think. The Patriots aren't going away, folks. The Patriots are not going away. They are a team that's going to be there, especially considering their schedule. Now, I am interested in what how they look the next 2 weeks. They have really 3 weeks. Cleveland, because Cleveland's defense is good. And they go to New England next week. And the way New England plays with what I always like to say, not a lot of margin for error, I'm interested to see that offense against the Cleveland defense. The problem is I don't think Cleveland can outscore them. Even if the Cleveland defense plays well, a low-scoring game, Cleveland probably wins. Then they do get Atlanta at home as well. Then they have to go to Tampa. So the next three games for New England are very interesting. And in the meantime, the Bills have to get back on track themselves, of course. And that starts next week against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers with another win, three in a row. They win 13-6 over the New York Jets. They're just finding ways to win. They're 4-3. And they've lost to New England, by the way, 42-13. And they shut out Atlanta 30-0. Who can figure these games sometimes? And as the Bills head towards Carolina, it just underscores how big of a game this is for them. The Bills have to win this game. You can't come back home next week against a Kansas City Chiefs team after dropping another and going 4-3. You're staring 4-4 right between the eyes. Even if you get to 5-2 for the Bills, 5-3 isn't the greatest start. But you have to win this game to even get there. Because after that, you have the Dolphins, who just look terrible right now. But then it's the Bucks and the Texans and the Steelers and the Bengals, who have some life now. And then the Patriots again. And then that Browns defense and the Eagles. Suddenly, the Bills' schedule, which looked a lot easier, I guess, in the offseason, isn't so much easier anymore. And that happens all the time. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. All right. Here's what I want to do for the next little while. Before we get Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour, at least. Let's kind of get your temperature and your pulse on where the Bills are, but really what they need to do. Like, what do they need to do? How do they get out of what's happened the last 2 weeks? Jeremy and Joe had a really good poll today and a really good question. And it was basically, like, who's to fix it? Who's to fix it? How do you fix it? Is it Joe Brady? Is it Brandon Bean? Is it Josh? They were specifically talking about the offense, if the offense needs fixing. I'm more concerned still about the defense right now. I do think Michael Hoyt will help a lot. Even Larry Ogunjobi, especially because Daquan Jones is out, you need another guy in that rotation because it hurt them losing Daquan before the game. Now, these are not, I'm not telling you that they are Bruce Smith and Fred Smirlis, right, coming back for all of you OG fans, right? Of course, we know Bruce Smith, but Fred Smirlis, good nose tackle back in the day. I was trying to think of a good comp here. All right, Ted Washington, whatever. I'm not saying that. But I do think these guys will help. I think they'll allow the Bills to play a little bit differently, how they want to play. But they still have a lot of questions on the defensive end. And yes, questions on the offensive end. But I always kind of default to Josh Allen on the offense. I say, well, they still have Josh. And even if it doesn't look right, at the end of the day, you have a chance and you're going to make plays because you have Josh Allen. Now, it hasn't worked out as much the last 2 weeks. I get that. But generally, that's the case. On defense, I think you could pick apart a lot of different spots and say, how are you going to fix that part? What are you going to do differently here? What are you going to do when the Kansas City Chiefs come to town and they have all that speed? And I'm interested to see. And before I take phone calls, and thanks a lot, we got a couple people on hold, and I appreciate that. We'll get to you in just a second. I remember I was at a function a few years ago, and the guy, and I can't remember his name now, he used to run the Hall of Fame, and he was up, he was talking, and his son had played at USC. And he said, this is when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC. And he told this story. This is a really, it kind of resonated with me this week. Sorry, excuse me. And he told this story. And the story was, one time USC was playing Oregon State, and they were down pretty bad. They were down like in the third quarter. And USC was supposed to be boat racing them, basically, and they weren't. He said Pete Carroll called a timeout or they had it after a score, whatever. He brought the whole team over to the sidelines. And he's like, and they're down. They're down like 2 scores, 10 points, whatever, to a team they should not, they should be totally handling. And Pete Carroll looked at his team and he said, man, this is great, isn't it? Everybody's like, what are you talking about, coach? It's great. We're down. We're losing to Oregon State. It's great. This is great. I'm so excited. Like, what do you mean? And he said, I'm excited to see how you respond. So we're so all the time, like we go out there, we beat teams, but now you have adversity. How do you respond to adversity? And look, nobody wants to be in this situation for the Bills. I'm excited to see what they put on the field next Sunday. I really am. I'm not telling you you're going to go out to Carolina and beat them by 40 points. I don't know. They could lose the game. I mean, Carolina's looking good. They might have Andy Dalton, the quarterback, by the way. The beloved Andy Dalton from Bills Mafia, right? And by the way, I think you might want to face Bryce Young instead of Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton might be playing. Who knows about that injury situation? I'm excited to see what the Bills put on the field. I really am. How do they respond to these 2 weeks? How do they respond to having a bye week and self-scouting? What are we going to see different? I'm excited for that. How's it look to you? 803-0550. General thoughts. How to fix it. What's gone wrong? Where you are right now, getting a temperature of you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's start us off with Cody, who is in North Carolina, and I will actually be able to pull Cody up in a minute, but go ahead, Dan, if you could pull Cody up for me right now, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead, Cody, you're on the air.
Hey, Chad, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Just to kind of piggyback on the Jeremy and Joe conversation, I feel like it's a Brady problem more than anything, right? You know, I feel like a lot of teams out there are, you know, running crossing routes and scheming their guys open, and we just are kind of sending Coleman down the field on an island. You know, his greatest attribute in the combine was the gauntlet drill, and it's like, you know, send him across the field, get him open, and try to get him in different patterns and change it up a little bit. You know, I also think too, you know, we talk about Kincaid and, you know, how much of an attribute he is to the team, but it's like if he's hurt, which happens often, we kind of go away from the tight end, right? So why are we not using Knox and running those same routes? And then my last thing is, you know, why are we not putting the running backs out in passing formation? You know, you look at Atlanta and Robinson, they split him out all the time, just trying to get him the ball, you know. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. I'll go with you on at least one of the points I totally agree with here, and that is, number one, the running backs. I want to see more of that. I want to see, where is Ty Johnson involved in the passing game? Where is James Cook? Maybe that's an adjustment they make after the bye. And I will tell you that sometimes you have to keep those guys in for pass protection. And if teams are heating up Josh Allen, you need extra blockers. But you could also use those guys as little outlets, which they have. I'm not with you on the tight end part because, look, I think that's nice to say. But, I mean, people want it both ways then. Well, why aren't they using Dawson Knox to do that? How many people want Dawson Knox doing that, though? It's like a... He has done that. But how many times do I get phone calls like, why is Dawson Knox even on the team? He can't do this. He can't do that. And now you're saying, well, no, you need him to go do all these things. Like, I don't know if you're going to get that same level. I agree with you, though, that losing Kincaid was a really big deal last week, and that could be a really big deal going forward. Hopefully he can play. He's had a couple of weeks now. That's 3 weeks, right? You missed last week's game. You have the bye week. That's 3 weeks with the oblique. Hopefully he comes back. And as far as Joe Brady's concerned, I do think Joe Brady can be better. I think everybody can be better. But this is a team that last year was setting franchise records for points scored. I don't just want to say it's only because they have Josh Allen. I think you have to give Joe Brady some credit for that too, right? And I don't know. Is it because they ran more crossing routes? It does seem like they need better separation somehow. And sometimes that has to come down to scheming guys open. All right, let's go to Trent in Jamestown. Hi, Trent. You're on WGR.
Hey, how's it going, Chad? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch in on how it kind of feels like Groundhog's Day to me. Like the last 5-6 years, we're in this position a lot, it seems like, and I think we will bounce back. We kind of seem how, you know, we seem to always do that, but at some point, Scott, it's less about the players and more about plays. I think Joe Brady has it in him, but I think he needs to open up the playbook a little bit. It seems like more of a scheme thing to me, but we are in this position pretty much every year, losing a couple in a row, and then we bounce back.
Let's say he opens it up. What does that look like to you, Trent? Trent, what does it look like to you to open up the playbook? Like, do you have something in mind, a player in mind? Because a lot of things of what we see and what we hear is, well, they don't have guys to separate downfield. So you can open it up as much as you want. That could also just equal 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10 if you can't get it to them.
Yeah, it's I think we got to get the running backs involved in the passing game as well, and maybe try to stretch the field a little bit. We got Josh Palmer. I don't know if how his injury is looking, but we signed guys that kind of seem like they're supposed to fill a separation role, and they haven't shown a whole lot of that.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And listen, I think Palmer's got to be a little bit of that guy, right? And he was signed for this. He's not a great burner downfield, but he's a good separator in route running. And that was the book on him, why they signed him. And that injury really hurt them. They didn't have Kincaid. Then all of a sudden, they didn't have Palmer. He had already had 60 yards before halftime when he got hurt. A 45-yard catch, another 15-yard catch, which he gets hurt on. We'll hear from Sean McDermott later in the week. On Wednesday will be the first time we hear from McDermott. He'll give us an update on some of the injured guys, where the Bills stand with that. Josh Palmer is going to be a key guy to look at and think about there. We all know what happened back in April/May, right after the draft, when Brandon Bean came on WGR and he talked about wide receiver, and Jeremy's had the wide receiver train, and wasn't necessarily something they did this year with the train, but it was a talk, and it was still a talking point, and it has been. And Brandon Bean defended what they were doing at wide receiver and the fact that they scored 30 points a game, and he's not wrong on that. He has scoreboard, as we say, right? I do think, though, as I watch this team over the last few weeks, it feels like they still need a little more there. You don't have to have just, oh, my God, go get the fastest guy on the planet. A lot of times that doesn't work, folks. I know. But I do think you need a little more ability to be able to get down the field, whether that's a player or a play, as Trent just said. But if you don't have that speed, it's a little bit tougher, right? When I'm watching the Chiefs yesterday, it's not just because they have Xavier Worthy. Yes, he's fast. Or Rashee Rice, he's fast. Those guys make plays. A lot of times those guys, their plays are off the line of scrimmage. Rashee Rice scored a touchdown on a little flip pass in front of him. But you know what it did, though? Suddenly here comes Travis Kelce now, who seems like he has a lot more room to operate. And that's what that can do for you. Elijah Moore has some speed. Maybe that's a bit of a ticket they can use. So we'll see what adjustments, what creativity, if you will, what planning Joe Brady and the offense come up with during the bye week. Let's go up to Billy in Toronto. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, Sal. How's it going? Yeah, listen. You know, the worst nightmare is coming true right now. Forget about the Bills. Forget about everything else. The Kansas City Chiefs are starting to roll, just like you said. We had a chance to put them away, at least have a big lead in the division, and coast home to a first round bye throughout the playoffs. And now we've let everybody back in. And like you say, even this Carolina team is starting to play a lot better. Who can say that that's a win? I mean, we got to start letting Josh be Josh. I mean, I'm sick and tired of trying to run here, pass here, do this by the book. Let's open it up and let Josh be Josh. And that's the only way we're going to start scoring. We'll get guys open and stuff like that when teams got to really, really, concentrate on Josh. Then it'll make our other players better. But I'll tell you this, you know, again, I can't reiterate this enough. Nobody's called in more to this show and told you we're going to the Super Bowl. And God damn it, we have let Kansas City back in. For them to hold the Raiders to 3 first downs in a football game, the Raiders should be kicked out of the league, as far as I'm concerned. 3 first
Billy.
Downs.
Guys, Billy.
It's now between us and Kansas City again, and that's what worries me.
Well, let me say, I got two things for you, Billy, before you go, okay? Thanks for calling us also. I got two things for you. Number one, yes, the Bills losing 2 games kind of lets them back in. I get your point. But you can't do anything about Kansas City until you play them. You want to keep them out, you beat them. I mean, the Bills have nothing to do with Kansas City playing the Raiders. That's Kansas City. Kansas City has played 6 separate games than the Buffalo Bills. When you say let them back in, the only way you could do what you described early was to go 6-0 in your first 6 games, which is great, but a little unrealistic sometimes too. Yes, one loss and one win that could have changed New England or Atlanta would definitely make you feel better. I get that. But it's not like, you know, Kansas City is their own team. They've had 6 games. The Bills still have a chance to play them, and that's when you can try and do something about it. You can't really do anything about them until you play them. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yep.
Okay, number 2. What's the vibe like in Toronto tonight, brother?
Well, I'll tell you something. It is wide open. Like I've been saying since the beginning of the year, it's wide open for anybody to win. But, I mean,
No, Billy, did you hear what I asked you? What is the vibe in Toronto tonight? Like, for baseball, it's game seven.
What do you think, Sal?
Why, come on. People are going crazy, right? I mean, what's it like? It's going to be awesome up there, man.
It's awesome. It does seem to be, you know, again, this wasn't expected halfway through the year. We're starting to see a lot of, you know, a lot of people come out of the woodwork that were supposed to be Blue Jay fans for life. But you know what? Hey, it's just not Toronto. It's all over Canada that they're going crazy, and you know, it's well deserved. And hopefully we get it done today, and then we got a big task ahead of playing the Kansas City Chiefs of baseball, the LA Dodgers. So yeah, they're going nuts up here, and I just hope if we get beat, it's not by, you know, bad bullpen decisions or bad. If we get beat, you know what? We get beat. But this team is different. This is old school baseball. I know Vladdy's having a good series, and I know I've ripped him on your show before. But it's everybody 1 through 9 getting base hits, everybody doing their job. This is old school at its finest. And, you know, hopefully we're playing LA in the World Series.
Billy, take care. Thanks for calling, as always, buddy. I appreciate you. Yeah. You got it. All right. We'll take a timeout here. God, how about tonight, man? Think about this. You got 2 Monday Night Football games tonight. Game 7 of the ALCS tonight, just across the border, basically. Sabres also across the border a little bit. And the other side, though, over there, Montreal. Sabres, 2 Monday Night Football games. Game 7 should be awesome. Awesome here to be with you from the WSBU studios on the campus of St. Bonaventure University. Today, talking with some students after this, talking with you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Sal Capaccio with you. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls on the Bills. Paul Hamilton on the way at 11 a.m.
You know, there's a team that's trending up, and there's a team that's trending down. The team that's trending down is the Buffalo Bills. I'm hitting that panic button right now. They look light. Wow. They look light in the buck. I mean, he'd be running for – they're giving up 5.8 yards a carry right now, and that's not sustainable if you want to play late in the season when the weather starts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Starts to turn, the tackling gets worse.
Really panicking already?
I'm worried about them.
Yeah, you, Julian Edelman, and a lot of Bills fans. Still a lot of football to be played. We'll see where it goes, but the Bills need to turn around pretty quickly this week. 803-0550 there at the Carolina Panthers Sunday at 1 o'clock. I'm here on the radio taking your phone calls today, 803-0550 on a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Enter at WGR550.com for your chance to win a free home heating system courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Whether your home needs a furnace, boiler, or ductless heat pump, T-Mark's got you covered. The last day to enter is October 26th, 2025. Okay, taking your phone calls today. Going to bounce around the league a little bit later. Going to talk hockey as well because a little bit of a vibe here with the Sabres the last couple of games. I got to ask, is my guy Owen there? Is Owen, I can't see him right now. Is Owen right there? Can I talk to him
right
and
here,
ask
Sal,
him a question? I can't
on?
See. Okay, great, great. Alex Lyon, how sustainable is this that he's playing really good hockey in goal? And B, Do we have a bit of a goalie controversy on our hands when UPL comes back?
Yeah, I'll answer the first one first. I think in terms of Lions game, it's definitely sustainable. I don't know that you can, you know, have anybody play the amount of games that he's playing at
right.
The rate he's playing them. It just doesn't happen in the NHL anymore. But I think that you have definitely got a situation here where when UPL comes back, you're not looking to find him ways into the net. You're waiting for Lyon to make a slip up to allow a creak in the door for UPL to come in, because Lyon's played so well. He's given them a chance to win every game that they've played. Even in the bad losses early, he gave them opportunity to score goals and get in the games. And then the last two that they've won, he's looked great, especially against Florida. He just looked so confident. His technique, he was just so solid in his base of his game. I spoke to him a little bit after the game about it, and it's just, he emphasized how important it is for him to keep everything simple. Everything's got to be simple. Everything's got to look like it's not intimidating and scary. And to me, he looks as confident as a goalie can ever look in the net, and I don't think you ever take that guy out until you're given a reason to. And I don't think that UPL has earned the right that him just purely being healthy demands he be back in the crease.
And you have Colton Ellis, who's sitting there waiting for a chance to show what he can do, and that's probably coming very soon. I mean, this week at some point. It could be tonight. We don't really know that for sure.
I know, right? Paul is on tonight. He thinks that he would like to see Ellis tonight. I struggle with that idea a little bit more because I think Montreal is really good, and they are really potent. And that is another really tough building to play in. I would think about throwing him in the first game of the back against the Leafs at home would be the spot that I would think about. You're away from the Saturday night in Toronto. That's a circus. It gives him a chance to play at home. You're not playing in Montreal against a team that's that good. And frankly, where they're at right now, I think that Montreal is a scarier team as a goaltender to play than Toronto is.
So, UPL, counting this year, is under contract for the next 4 years. Alex Lyon, Colton Ellis, and Devin Levi all for the next 2 years, actually. I mean, I don't want to get way ahead of myself, but I'm like, what does this goalie future even look like here in Buffalo? It's kind of interesting, right,
to see these guys. Yeah, it's murky now.
And Lyon is 32, though.
Lyon's not young. He's been around the league a long time, but this is really his first opportunity. He had a little bit last year in Detroit. It didn't go great for him, but he wasn't bad. But this is his first real shot at having an opportunity to sort of own a crease. And he's really taken and run with it early. So this happens to goalies. They're late bloomers. It's kind of the way the developmental track works. You're always playing catch up as the goalie, right? Both in the game and as a position as a whole in the sport. You're always playing catch-up. So you see this a lot where an older guy will get later into his career and really find something, and goalies can have extended careers. So I wouldn't be, you know, it's not out of the question that he plays a good another 3 or 4 years in the league. It just depends on whether that's with the Sabres or not.
Owen Parker right there, giant goalie son, as we've always referred to him. And, I'm looking forward to tonight in Montreal. I agree with you. I know Paul said what he said, but I think that's a tough spot to be in tonight. You're looking at more of the back-to-back probably later in the week, I think, for Ellis to get his shot. That's against Toronto a little bit later in the week. Anyway, should be fun tonight. Sabres on the ice tonight. We'll have all the coverage for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And, of course, Paul Hamilton will have everything for you at PHAM1717 and at WGR550.com. I'll have Paul on at 11 a.m. In the meantime, it's taking your calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Talking Bills at the bye, where they stand, what they need. I mean, trade deadline is November 4th. They still have a couple of weeks left here before the trade deadline. And you'd think maybe they could make a move, but it's not as easy as you think sometimes to make a move. Yes, there are more trades now than I think these days in the NFL than we've seen. The Bills have made some. Rasul Douglas, Amari Cooper. They don't have just unlimited assets to go trade. I know people say, heck with the picks, just trade all the assets. I understand. And I'm not totally like against it or pushing back against this being the year to go for it, for sure. I do think you have to be, you know, at least cognizant of that. You do have still Josh Allen for the next whatever years and guys you sign under contract. So you do have to at least be aware of those assets moving forward. You can't be just completely get rid of everything, because what player is available that allows you to get to trade that kind of asset that's worth it, right? Amari Cooper for what? It was a second and a fifth, or then they Rasul Douglas a third. I think that's how it went down, maybe a third and a fifth, whatever, for Amari. But that's the kind of trade sometimes in the assets that you're looking at. Plus, cap space matters, folks. They just don't have the cap room to go out and get a really big ticket item unless they move money out as well. Let's go to Andy in New Jersey. Let's get your thoughts, Andy. What's going on, man?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
I think that I've seen the trend now where they have these two-game winning streaks, and over the past 5 years or so, You look at the way they finished. I think that that'll probably pan out the same way. Maybe going seven and three or eight and two or something like that.
Two game losing streaks. You mean you said winning? You meant losing?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The two game losing streaks. Yes, they finished very strong over these past few years. After having these valleys in their performance, and I also think that Michael Hoyt is going to definitely add some extra oomph to the pass rush, and I think that's really going to give Joey Bosa. I think that's going to give him a lot of help. I think that he has played great, Joey Bosa. But I think if you've got somebody else coming to give him help, I think that can only be a good thing. And the last thing I wanted to say, Sal, was I'm coming down to Charlotte for the game on Sunday, and I know you're going to be at a bar or someplace there in Charlotte during the weekend, and I just wanted to find out where that was going to be.
No, I don't have anything planned like that. There's a lot of different tailgates. There are different things. I get asked to do a lot of things. I do not have anything specifically set up, though. I can't help you there.
Oh, I thought you were appearing at, you were going to be at this, it was like a nightclub or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? You never know where you'll find Sal Capaccio in Charlotte or any other city in America at some point. No, honestly, I don't really have anything specific, but who knows? I know there'll be a lot of Bills fans down there, Andy. There are a lot of different tailgates. I mean, I've been asked to do a lot of different things. It's not easy. Sometimes we get in, so I fly on the team charters, everybody knows, as part of the radio broadcast, and usually get into the cities you're going into around 4 o'clock. The night before the game. And then, you want to hang out with people. I have a lot of friends in Charlotte, people who've lived. Who doesn't have a friend or family member that moved from Buffalo to Charlotte, though? Who didn't? We all do, right? I have plenty of them. And I'll try to hook up with a couple of them, hang out a little bit. I also kind of got to be careful, right? You guys know, I've always said this. Like, I'm not this, like, huge. I don't go out and just, party and drink all the time. It's not my style. I like to go out and have a good time, meet people. But sometimes that still requires talking over other people and music and things going on. And over the years, I think you've noticed years ago, especially, I would kind of have a bit of a strained voice, lose my voice. And I had to stop doing stuff like that and say, like, I just can't be around that as much because it's just tough on me. It's just any personal, just, you gotta take care of, what is the career, the voice. So I try to be careful of that. In the meantime, doesn't mean I can't go out, say hi to people, and maybe I'll see you in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, anybody else going down there? 803-0550 is the number to call. This Friday, on a Buffalo Football Friday, going to have a special guest, DJ Milk. There is a event going on that benefits Oshai Children's Hospital of a tailgate going on Sunday. But we're going to talk with DJ Milk about that on Friday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. The Bills, how about this? So Andy brought up the last few years, two-game losing streaks. Here's what I looked at over the last couple of days. I was kind of just going through a bunch of stuff and saying, you know what? Where were the Bills after 6 weeks of action as far as standings are concerned? And I went back and looked. Interesting. So this is just conference. So right now, after 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks, I'm sorry, after 7 weeks of the season, the Bills are, let me pull this up, what spot? They are the fifth seed. They are seed 5. It goes Indy at 6-1, and then New England and Denver and Pittsburgh are your 2, 3, and 4 seeds, 5-2, 5-2, 4-2 for Pittsburgh, because they're all the division winners. Buffalo, LA Chargers, Jacksonville are your 5, 6, and 7 seeds. So right now, the Bills are the 5 seed. Okay, last year, 2024, after week 7, where were the Bills? They were the 4 seed at 5-2. Last year, at this time, the Bills were the 4 seed behind Kansas City, Houston, and Baltimore. In 2023, following week 7, the Bills were the 7 seed. They were the 7 seed after 7 weeks. They were 4-3. It was KC, Miami, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Buffalo. Remember Miami? They were 5-2. The Bills were 4-3. That was after that hot game down in Miami and the Dolphins beat the Bills. In 2023, the Bills were the 7 seed after 7 weeks. In 2022, they were the 1 seed. 5-1. Kansas City was 5-2. Then it was Tennessee, Baltimore, the Jets, Miami, and the Chargers. In 2021, the Bills were the 4 seed. I mean, it's amazing. Other than 1 year, 2022, when the Bills were the 1 seed, you go back to 2021, okay? And the Bills were basically they were 4, they were 7, they were 2 1 year, but it was mainly 4, 5, or 7. And this year, right now, as it comes in, this is before tonight, by the way, and you do have a game tonight that impacts this because Houston is playing tonight. Houston is at Seattle tonight. They're the only AFC team playing tonight, Monday Night Football. Let's see where Houston is. If Houston wins tonight, they would get to 3-3. You know what? It would not impact the Bills because they would not be in a playoff spot. So there you go. So it wouldn't impact. So the Bills will finish the week, this week, as the 5 seed. New England, here's the difference, though. I'm not painting everything rosy and telling you this because I want you to go, oh, everything's fine. I will say you just don't know because it's a long season. That's number one. And to the point of Andy who just called, they go through these lulls, they come back. That's one of the points. But the main point is, look, this is something not to panic about, except the difference is New England is way better and different than anything we've seen over the last few years. Maybe Miami, when they were rolling 70 on Denver and then, you know, playing really well. Miami was pretty good for a hot minute there. But New England looks live and real. And that's the fly in the ointment this year. But the Bills still have to take, the Bills still have everything they want in front of them, folks. They have everything they want. But it starts this week against the Panthers, and then it's the following week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Who do they play? Panthers quarterback. We'll talk about that, too, after this timeout. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Bills, Panthers on Sunday at 1. Is it going to be Bryce Young or Andy Dalton? And who would you rather play? I got my thoughts on it. We'll do that next here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's hit the phone lines and get in Chris, who's in Lancaster, next up. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I wanted to point out something and then get your thoughts on it. Last Monday night was probably the worst half of football I have ever seen the defense play. I mean, I'm exaggerating to a degree, but it was horrible. With the second half, I saw McDermott make some adjustments. He went more man-to-man. And, you know, watching the game last night, seeing San Francisco pretty much shut Atlanta down without their top four or five starters in the game, our coach has had 5 years to fix this defense. And one could argue, you know, honestly, that it's getting worse. And I mean, with a guy like Josh Allen, the best quarterback, I think, arguably, that in the NFL, he could go to the Jets and they become an 8-9 team, right? What could it be, our head coach, even when he blitzes, I see the safeties 20 yards off the ball, and he just doesn't seem to want to change his scheme. And I think without a respectable defense, it's going to be the same thing every year. We're going to get to either the AFC Championship game or the divisional round, and our defense is going to shine through to the poor side. Just wondering your thoughts. Am I on to
Okay, well, first of all, let me start here. Sure. Sean McDermott doesn't call the plays on defense. It is his defense with Bobby Babbage. You know, it's not Bobby's not running a different defense that Sean doesn't want. I get that. But he's not calling the plays. When you said he blitzes, it's Bobby Babbage who's calling the blitz. So let's just get that straight so we have that first, right? Number one.
Right.
My question to you is, what do you want them to change? Because as you said, they went man-to-man. It was better. I agree. And no doubt that they are leaking right now in a lot of ways. And you go back over the last several years and say, it's definitely happened in big games and big moments. And you play these certain teams, you don't match up. What do you want them to do? Like, what, when you say fix it,
right. Okay,
because you only have the players at your disposal as well. So if you think it's just some magical elixir of play a different scheme and everything will fix it, I don't think that's the case usually. I think you also have to have players play.
Well, right. So I could answer your question, I think. I don't know how good of an answer it's going to be, but why not change his philosophy overall, tighten up your coverage, play man-to-man on a regular basis, and even the draft. Let's be honest. Smaller players with speed, watching the opponent get 8, 9, 11, 13 yards every time they run the ball, well, most every time they run the ball, of course, is just disturbing, and it's not fun to watch our defense out there get embarrassed. The only good game I would say we had was against the Jets, who are 0-7, but it just seems like whatever he's doing, going
right
with his zone coverage, when is he going to learn that I've really got to change my philosophy? Maybe even
let me ask you a question. Do you want Tre'Davious White playing man to man against Xavier Worthy or Rashee Weiss? I think that's the issue. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I agree with you. I'd like to see more man to man. I do, because I think it helped them a little bit in the game. But you also have to have players who can have that ability to do that. And then you go back to the draft. Well, that's not something you can fix right now in October. You know what I mean?
Right. Can I say one more thing? So
real quick.
Yeah. So why not, instead of 13 plays, 14 plays, and running our defense to the ground, into the ground and tired, why not tighten up the coverage? And if they beat us, we have Josh Allen on the other side of the ball,
okay,
and we'll go toe-to-toe with anybody, right?
Sure. Okay. Well, they didn't last week there because the first half offense was also bad.
True.
So they can't go toe-to-toe right now with anybody. But I agree that you do have Josh Allen, who seems to fix a lot of the ills on the offensive side, but you don't really have that on the defensive side. Real quick, Mike in Hamburg. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Sal, I'm gonna say a couple things, and then I need you to let me talk to the producer. I need to get a hold of the guy from 26 Shirts.
Just go. What do you need to say, buddy?
Well, you know me. I'm going to tell you that I think that they have not played to their ability all year long, even though they won four in a row. They still haven't played their ability. This team just seems like they can walk out on the field, look up at the scoreboard, and say, we're the Buffalo Bills, and we're going to win. And I'm sorry to say this, and I've been a defendant of this for a long time, but I'm telling you right now, the coaching staff of the Bills does not have this team ready to play to their ability ever. Until after they end up waking up, which they're going to do now. 15-2, 14-3 will be their number. They'll end up with number one. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. I've got to get a hold of Del Shannon. It's very.
I don't even know. I think you mean Del Reed, not Del Shannon. But listen, I'm just going to put you on hold. And if somebody wants to pick up the phone and talk to you, that's great. Have a good conversation there, Mike. I got to go, but I appreciate you. That phone call ended way different than I thought it was when it started. All right, that was a roller coaster phone call from Mike. He's like, man, he's hammering. And he's like, but they're going to the Super Bowl, baby. I love it. It's a good way to get to Paul Hamilton on the other side of this timeout on WGR. Sabres tonight in Montreal. We'll talk about it. Anyway, we'll reset after this timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good first hour, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.